All right, so I just copied it out on the chart, and I'll try to fill it in as we go with you. And what that'll do is we'll just put on a chart format the Daniel's 70 weeks. So this chart is going to start from the beginning, and we'll carry it all the way to the end of the 70 weeks, okay? And so that's what that will be. Any questions from the last two lessons before we get started? Did you have one, Brother Rand, or are you just trying to think of something?
I'm still on the previous conversation.
You're still on the songs? And
yeah, I was thinking about something completely different. Okay. I did have a question. It's probably completely unrelated to this, but I was just seeing what your opinion was. I don't think we've ever talked about it. But small group. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, like churches and small groups?
Yeah.
We'll get into that one.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll get into that. All right. Any questions on Daniel 70 weeks? Stop it, Brother Andy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So last week, we covered the seven areas, right? And so we went through these, and I showed you that in its visual, yeah, you might look at it and think Jesus, but it's not been fulfilled yet. And I gave you quite a few verses to support that. So Daniel's 70 weeks. These are the seven purpose or determination by God that he would accomplish for the 70 weeks, and it's not completed yet. All right, so we'll leave that there because we might have to come back to it just in conversation. Now, what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to give you a couple points of review, and then we've got to pinpoint the start. And we'll follow Daniel 9, and we'll read in the text to see where it says it starts. When it says it gives a starting place, there is a problem, because we're going to find that there's four starting points. So we've got to eliminate the three that aren't right and which one is correct, okay? And so we'll do that. We'll go through it, and I'll help you out. All right, let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, thank you for the time this evening, and we ask that you'd help us as we study tonight your word in Daniel 9 as we try to attempt to rightly divide the word of truth, to find the answers, God, that would show us the starting point and more details concerning the prophecies of Daniel's 70 weeks that he had given here in the scriptures in Daniel 9. And so, Father, direct us and guide us in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so we covered the 7 points, and those are all determined for the nation of Israel. The 70 weeks are determined. You'll know that the 7 points on the backside are technically going to be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ, at the very end of our period of time. That's when it's going to take place. Recall an allotment of a week in our 70 weeks. 1 week represents 7 years. It represents 7 years, which means that if you've got 70 weeks and it's 7 years, it's going to equal what? 490. They asked Jesus Christ, how many times should a man forgive? Huh. Just coincidence. Or do you think it might have been he was trying to point to something? Yeah. But they didn't see it. I mean, they didn't register with him. They were like, you know, I mean, we got to stop after that many times. And he's like, oh, guys, you know. But what is all of that on that backside? When I flip it over, you can see the forgiveness for sins for the nation of Israel. So it had a great doctrinal application. So 1 week equals 7 years, Genesis 29:27. So 1 week is 2,520 days. And you could figure all these math things out, right? So, all right, look at Daniel 9. Give you another definition. Look at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. That last one, that's the one I'm not really clear on. It could be to anoint God, the Son, Jesus Christ. That's possible in the end times, the second coming of Christ. I tend to look at it going, it's probably the holy place. But either way, it still hadn't happened in the text. Now, verse 25, know therefore and understand. So you've got to know this and you've got to understand it. This is where it gets difficult and we lose them. Yeah, because this gets, especially if you're like me and you're not a math person, all these numbers start getting really confusing. And then you get in the latter part of Daniel in chapter 12, and he starts throwing out numbers of days. And I'm like, whoa, this is lots of stuff here. Now, I believe probably a lot of that stuff is going to be hard to pinpoint because it hasn't happened yet. It's still end time future events. But well, let's keep going here. So verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Okay, so what is our starting point? Our starting point is given right there in verse 25. It's the starting of these 70 weeks is going forth of the commandment. So we've got to find a commandment or a decree. And this decree has some details. Notice there in verse 25, it says going forth the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So it has to restore and to build Jerusalem is what this decree or commandment has to be given. All right, verse 25, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Have you seen the word 60 before? Okay, it's an adjective. It means being 3 times 20, which is 60. Okay, so we're here back to verse 25. So it shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 62 weeks and 7 weeks. So let's just go ahead and start drawing this thing out. And I think I put some arrows drawing in between, okay, in your charts. There is a chart right back there on the back if y'all want one. You don't have to do this, but you can draw pretty pictures if you would really like to, okay? All right, so we got three breakdowns. Let's back up to verse 25 right here. He said, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So it's 62 and then 7. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So that last part right there, that last phrase, the street shall be built again, well, that's a reference to the commandment to restore and to build. See that? Okay. So verse 25, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, so after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Okay, so we're going to go from, make sure I got my, did I grab your chart? How did I do that? I'm trying to see if I can make sure. I got a dotted line here. That's what I forgot. Brother Randy was singing to me at that point. Okay. All right, so on your chart right here, you've got an arrow that carries you over to here. That's 69 weeks, okay? And you should have another arrow that goes from here to here. That right there is our 7 weeks. And then from this dotted line that you have all the way to this one, is 62 weeks. Okay? All right, so Daniel's 70 weeks. 69 weeks from this point to when Messiah, the Prince, in Christ, is cut off. Cut off means to die. There's 7 weeks and 62 weeks, totaling our 69. Okay, so at this point, then we know that we have to have a 70th week. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, what we don't know is, when did this thing start? Now, we know that it starts when this decree or this commandment is given. But here's your problem. There's 4 of those in the Bible. There's 4 different ones. And so we've got to determine which one it is. Now, if you can find this starting point, then you can about figure out when this Messiah is going to die. Then how did they know when Jesus Christ came at his first coming? That's what this arrow is going to represent here. How did they know that? I'll give you some verses as we keep going with this that they would have known. And when I say they, these wise men, how did they know to start looking for this Messiah, for the Prince of Israel? Because they knew the 69 weeks. They had studied the scriptures from Daniel. We know Daniel had Jeremiah, right? He's studying the 70 years. So he's probably got other writings. And so they could pinpoint this right here based on this, work backwards. So we got 7 weeks, 62, totaling 69, which means there's over in here somewhere is our 70th week. Okay. So the 70 weeks, which totals 490 years in this Bible prophecy. When did it start? Let's look at verse 25 again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Okay, so we got to find the first one. Let's go to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Now this decree came in Ezra chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. Let's see if it matches up. See if it has any problems or will it work for us. So don't go filling anything in here yet. You can write all you want to on this chart, but if you write these down, you're probably going to be scratching stuff off because number 4 is going to be our correct one, okay? I'm just giving you a heads up. We're going to go through first 3, which are not correct, but we have to look at them because these things give us these time frames, and you've got to know why it won't work. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Will that one work? It won't work. Now, I don't know if you noticed. Notice in verse 3, let him go up, which is in Judah, and build the house. So in this one, Ezra to rebuild the temple, there's nothing about restoring or building the city. It's just about the house of God. So we know that we have to have the streets taken care of and this whole rebuilding of the city from Daniel chapter 9. So if we were to make this one, so this one places you at 5, if we took number 1, this would be 536 B.C. when that decree in Ezra 1 was given. So if we did that and we started at 536 B.C., now we know that from this point to this point is 69 weeks, correct? So 69 times 7, and that's what you get, right? Don't ask me to do that in my head. And so we go from this point to that point, 69 weeks. So if we started that in 536 B.C., then that would leave you that the ending of the 69 weeks would be 49 years before Christ was even born. So it won't work. It won't work for us. So we know that can't be the case. It cannot be the first decree. Look at chapter 6 of Ezra. Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. In Ezra chapter 6 is our second command that is given. And in Ezra chapter 6, verse 1, then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Akmathea, the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations there be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, and with 3 rows of great stones. And he starts going through all this. Well, it's just a recount. He's talking about the house again. So that one won't work. This one here, in Ezra 6, the dating of that is 519 B.C. That would put you that the 69 weeks would have ran out 32 years before Christ was born. Again, won't work. So our second commandment to go forth wasn't fully this description of Daniel 9. Okay? So by the time the wise men We're looking at these scrolls. They're way over in here. So Daniel's prophecy is back up in here. This is why these guys can look at it and go, okay, well, we know it can't be Ezra 1. It won't work. Didn't match up. Now, it's easy for you and I to sit here. This is the picture of the church age. It's easy for us to sit back and go, oh, that's easy. But if Jesus hasn't been born and he hasn't been crucified, he hasn't shown up on the scene, you're trying to take this. These guys were studying the scriptures. That's pretty amazing. And they're trying to rightly divide it, is what they're doing. And they're going, okay, well, all they've got to look at is from right here back. Again, it's easy for you and I to go, well, that's easy. If number two doesn't work because, well, he died right here and he wasn't born yet. But they don't know that, right? So they go, okay, well, that one doesn't work. So we have to eliminate number two. Now we go with Ezra chapter 7. In chapter 7, in verses 7, all the way down to verse 28. I'm not going to read all through that. This is your third decree. It was in the seventh year of Artaxerxes. And this decree in Ezra 7 was only to beautify Jerusalem. So again, it doesn't fit. And if you did that, that it would take you, you would be 29 years after Christ. So it wouldn't line up. That's us looking at it. But those guys, this doesn't work out either because the command doesn't fit to build and restore the city and the streets. So there's your third one. Now go to chapter 2 of Nehemiah. Told you there are four commands. Here we are. This is number four. Yes, ma'am. After his birth on that last one. 29 years after his birth. If you had done number three after his birth, it would have showed up. The end of the 69 weeks would have been 29.
He didn't die at 29.
No. 33 and a half. Correct. So now that one's close, right? You get a little closer. But I didn't write it down. Sorry. Yeah, I wrote all the other ones. I typed all the other ones up, and I didn't write that one down. 458 B.C.? Okay. Yeah, and my Bible doesn't, my last wide margin would give me dates. This one doesn't do it, so sorry about that. Okay, so fourth decree takes place in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read this now. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates are ever consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me into Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said to me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. You notice it's not just the house of God. It's to rebuild the city and the walls. That's what, of course, Nehemiah is known for. Look down at verse 13. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. So he's not looking just at a temple. He's looking at the city and making assessment as he goes around and saying, here's the projects we have to do. You're there still in chapter 2. Look down at verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the, what? The wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. So in chapter 2, the decree is given in verses 1 to verse 8. He says, go back and build. And that one fits Daniel's prophecy of going back to rebuild the city and the streets. The others wouldn't fit. Now, this one would place you, let's do it. At 445 BC. And that takes you right to there. That one will work. So when you total it up, that's the decree. So the time clock starts right there. So Daniel's 70 weeks start in 445 BC, and it starts ticking. Now, I said 445. Some will even put it at 450. Don't ask me about all that math stuff, because then you got guys going, oh, well, they were 3 years off with Christ's birth. And listen, if I can't get all this, you know the wise men showed up after his birth. They weren't 39 years early, right? Okay, so we know of four decrees and commands. The others won't work because of the instruction that was given. This one works because of the instruction that was given. It fits it. So the wise men they looked back and went, okay, that's the one with Artaxerxes that he gave, and they went back from captivity and they start rebuilding. It's recorded in Nehemiah. Okay? So in 450 BC, time clock of Daniel's 70 weeks, it starts. It's determined for what?
Seven.
So, well, I mean, it's some guesswork here, like the wise men. They would have had to find Daniel's writings. But the Babylonians were known for keeping records. Okay, you remember in Esther, and they pull out the records, and everything is recorded. Okay, so they were known for keeping very good records. And that's what Mordecai was. He was a scribe. He kept records. So by the time you get to these wise men, they're studying astrology, they're studying all the stars, they're studying all these, the education of the day, and they have run across the prophecies of Daniel. Now, we don't know anything about them, those men, but this is the only way they would have known based on the scriptures. Okay, so now, we'll go back to Daniel 9. And when we get back to Daniel 9, let's start putting together these time clocks and seeing where he gives us more instruction. Okay, so let's go back to Daniel 9. Am I losing anybody? We're good? Okay. So the prophecies are broken down in three parts. You'll see the 7 weeks, the 62 weeks, which means then we're left still with 1 week. So the 70 weeks are broken and divided into three sections. Okay. All right, Daniel 9 again. All right, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So the moment that the command was given, started it. When Artaxerxes says go, now it starts. So we place that one in Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, it starts. Okay, verse 25, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, he says it's going to be 7 weeks and then 62 weeks. Again, back to our chart, gives us 69 weeks from this point to Messiah the Prince. The nation of Israel is the only ones that were promised a Messiah. We were never promised a Messiah. He is the Lord Jesus Christ to us. The Messiah to the nation of Israel. Now, he's my Savior, and he's your Savior, but to the nation of Israel, their terminology was, you're going to have a Messiah. Okay, so now verse 25. Unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now he backs up in verse 25 to talk about this rebuilding. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So this rebuilding is 7 weeks. So 7 weeks of period of time is a rebuild time. During that 7 weeks. So Israel is rebuilding the city during 7 weeks of time. All right, now, verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, I'm going to throw this out to you, because if you hear in the charts, they'll go, okay, so at 69 weeks, bam, he's cut off. But the text didn't say that. Look at the wording again. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks, not at, not before, but what? After, okay? So I don't know how to reconcile that in my own mind, because I am not a math person, so getting in this stuff, I have to look at my chart, I have to look here, because if I'm not careful, I will say something wrong, because all this stuff doesn't just congeal in my brain very good, okay? I have to draw this stuff out. And if I draw it out, I can see something. But he says he's cut off after that. And it has to be right there, right near that place. I think this is probably why the wise men didn't show up at the birth. Because how far after the 69 weeks? Now we're going to start laying some other things out. Because when you get into Acts, if the time clock keeps ticking, there's no indication this thing stops. But we know that we have one more. By the time we get over here to the church, we know that we have this break and stop, and we're still left with 1 week. But in all technicality, it's already begun to go into the last week. And then he stopped it. And I'll give you some verses with that. Okay, so after 69 weeks, Messiah the prince is cut off. And so when they total it up again, the 69 weeks. Okay, let's go back to now to Daniel 9, verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and at the end of the war desolations are determined. Now we know that to be in that last part of verse 26, dealing with the Antichrist. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for what? 1 week, which means that 1 week has to be the last week. Again, we look at this and we go, okay, there's no break, there's no gap, there's no pause, put it on hold. It starts the 70 weeks. So when you look at the Bible prophecy, there was no prophetic event concerning a break or a pause in Daniel's 70 weeks. It is for that reason that I say that you are not going to find during this church age, you're not going to find Bible prophetic events taking place. And so just tune all that garbage out. I was seeing it come across social media even today, and some guy goes, the abomination of desolation, this is a charismatic preacher over on the Gulf Coast, the abomination of desolation has already started and he's standing in the holy place. Because you heard that Ukraine and Russia are in war. And so all of a sudden now we're back on Bible prophecy. You can't do that. Because this 70 weeks is determined upon who? Not the church, but the Jews. And you've got this insertion. And I'm going to give you verses as we go through our chart and we get to this. But at this gap and this break, God put he put the thing on pause. He put the brakes on, put the emergency brake on. And he went, I'm turning to the Gentiles. And all that Bible prophecy just went, erp. Now, are we getting closer? Is there the return of Christ? Oh, definitely. But you and I cannot look and start going, oh, here's this, and that must mean we're getting there, and this is getting ready to happen. And stop it. This stuff is dealing with Daniel's 70 weeks. Okay, so I'll get to it. Let's do this. Verse 27. And he he's referencing in verse 27, is backing up to verse 26, and you see where it says, and the people of the prince, capital P or lowercase? So it's not the same prince as back into verse 25. See that? Verse 25, the Messiah, the prince, who's that? It's Jesus Christ. Verse 26 is a different prince. Who is that prince? It's the Antichrist. So one of the names in your Bible prophecies given to the Antichrist is the prince. Now, he's not a prince of God. He's prince of Satan. Okay, verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So this prince, the Antichrist, will have a covenant, an agreement with the people of Israel for 1 week. How long is 1 week? 7 years. And in the midst of the week, 3.5. Man, this is difficult. So these guys that say, oh, there's only 3.5 years, there's only 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, I could see how you could get that from Revelation because he talks about 3.5 and 3.5 and 3.5. But you've got 1 week left. And in the midst of the week, the prince cuts it short. It's supposed to go for 1 week, but in the middle of it, he stops it. Let's keep going. And he should cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Are there sacrifices going on in Israel right now? So we're not talking about the church. There is no temple, and there's no sacrifices. Verse 27, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. So whatever the Antichrist does, he will desolate this temple, even into the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. These are God's determinations. This is the way it's going to be, will unfold. Okay, so that's the whole text of the passage. So we have right here, this is our first coming of Christ. Some will refer to it as the first advent, an advent calendar, the first coming of Christ. It's the first coming of Christ. But Daniel's 70 weeks didn't give us that date. It didn't tell you that, correct? All it told you was that at 69 weeks, he's going to be cut off. This is the date in which the prince of Israel shall die. So it is things like this. Did Jesus know he was going to die? Yeah. He knew when he would die. That's why, like this morning, like jump off the temple. Because of this, we know it wasn't the will of God for him to jump off the temple pinnacle. Not that point, because it had not fulfilled even this prophetic aspect. It was too early. There was nothing that they could do to kill him until it was time by God's plan. Let God be true and every man a liar. When God laid this thing out, this is what's going to happen. You're not getting around this thing. So 69 weeks and he dies. Then okay, then how is it that the wise men would know the approximate time frame that this Jesus would be born? Take your Bibles and look at Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. Somebody had to be studying their Bibles and doing some research to figure out what was going on and how do these Jews do it and what's their regulations and rules. Numbers chapter 4, verse 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their fathers and by their families, from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them. All that entered in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. People say there's no retirement in the Bible. They get to retire at 50. I got 5 years left. Yeah. Nah. They didn't start till 30. That's right. That's key. That's real key. Because this Messiah, the prince, They knew that he was not in a Jewish culture, was not going to be recognized as being a man in leadership until he was 30 years of age. Right there. Yep. Yeah. And so when he was 30, he started the ministry, didn't he? And that's how we know that he died at 30, about 33 and a half years of age. Okay, so how did they figure it out? Well, a Jew can't start. So they backtracked. he's got to be at least 30 to die. Has to. Or he's not going to be recognized as a man to lead Israel as a prince. Has to. When he came in on that city in Jerusalem, what was he riding? Donkey. What rides on donkeys in the Bible? Do you know the Bible prophetic aspect of that? The prince. That's how the week before of his crucifixion, well, what do you mean a week, okay? Palm Sunday is what we say. By Wednesday, he's crucified. It's not on a Good Friday. By Wednesday, he is crucified. So on Sunday, and he comes riding in on a print, on the donkey, which fulfilled Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah 9 said that your prince would come riding upon the donkey. Listen, folks, when the people say, well, I don't know the Bible's real, you must be nuts. This stuff was written by Daniel way back over here, right? And he said, this is what's going to happen. Did it happen? Yeah. And everybody in this room, your birthday is based on that right there. Whether you're Jew, Muslim, Hindu, doesn't matter. You ask what their birthday is? I was born on February 28th, 1977 AD, in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. Everybody's birthday is based on Jesus Christ. And so the wise men, it said that when they came into the house and they worshiped the child. My guess is they were about anywhere from 2 to 3 years off of the birth, which would make sense. Because they didn't have a time frame to know how old he was right here. So if you knew how old he was when he died, then you would know that for all they knew, he could die at 30. But they didn't know that. They knew he had to be at least between 30 and 50. See? And so then the stars line up, and there's a star we've never seen before. You ever notice that in Matthew? It says the star moved. And it went right over to the house. It led them. And it was his star. Well, probably not Star David. Star David is never mentioned in the Bible. It probably was taken on by the nation of Israel while they were in captivity. And in Acts 7, Stephen preaches, and he referenced that they had the Star of Rephidim. It was a false god star. God never gave them that star. Now, we attribute it as being the Star of David, being a Jewish picture, but it didn't come from the God of heaven. They grabbed a hold of a star, kind of like Roman Catholics do. They'll reach out and grab things that are pagan and Christianize them, and I figure that's what they did in history. They grabbed a hold of a star that was used in pagan worship, and they said, oh, this is the Star of David. David probably didn't even like stars. So this is how he's putting it together. Now, again, we're placing it here. We know now, but they didn't know the exact date of the birth of Christ. Okay, so let's keep going. So now let's keep filling in here. So we know that he dies in 33 A.D., right? 33 and a half years old, 33 A.D. Let's just leave it at that. Now, you're talking about the birth of Christ. We're not going to go through the study. It's a whole other study. You can pinpoint when Jesus Christ was born, probably born between September and October. That's a laughing stock on every abortionist. Think about that one. Huh? So September, October would have been the time frame that he was born. And then you go 9 months and all that kind of stuff. And the way that you pinpoint the birth is that Zechariah goes in and he was on the course of Abiah. You study the course of Abiah, which was, so these priests had a rotating schedule. And you know when John the Baptist was born, you know the gestation period of time, puts Jesus Christ 6 months later. And based on those clockwork, you can figure out his birth was not in December. So, okay. So there's more all sorts of stuff. Anyway, okay, so we got 33 AD, Christ dies, which that's the end of the 69 weeks, or right after the 69 weeks, okay? Now, I give you all sorts of, let's do it this way. The 70 week starts, right? So after 69 weeks, Messiah the Prince shall be cut off. Now, little, give or take a little time frame right there, okay, because he says after. But let's just make it for our chart. At the crucifixion of Christ, we're now entering into our 70 weeks. Time clock's still ticking, right? But the nation of Israel had rejected Christ. They want him, crucify him. Now, that was Bible prophecy. It had to happen. Now, even if the Jews said, we accept him, the Romans would have killed him. He has to die. He has to die. Then you've got from here to here, 3 days to the tomb. He ascends from the grave, right? He's risen. And then at the end of 40 days, that now brings us what to Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, he ascends at the end of the chapter, right? So this ascension of Christ. Let's see here. S-A-N, like that, right? No, that's not right. Okay, he goes up to heaven. There we go. We took care of that one. Yeah, all right. You ever write stuff like that and you're looking and the brain's going, I don't know about this one. Okay. Just be quiet, which A is representation of ascension, okay? It's an abbreviation. Yes. All you do is A and a dot. It works great. 7 days later, Holy Spirit. Acts 2. And by the time you get to our little, I'm going to do this here, change my color, because this right here, don't slow me down. I'm on a roll now. Okay. All right, so let's back up. 33 AD, Jesus Christ dies into the 69 weeks, takes us into the 70 weeks, right? And time clock's still ticking. 3 days into it, he rises from the dead. 40 days later, he ascends up to heaven. This time, he's with the disciples. He's with the believers privately. They're having great Bible studies like it never was seen before, correct? Acts chapter 1, when he ascends up into heaven, in like manner, you'll see him return. 7 days later, the Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. And that promise, he told him, he said, you just hold on. Don't go anywhere until you get the promise of the Spirit. By Acts chapter 7, now, what we've gone into with the 70 weeks, it stops. Because we get to Acts chapter 7, and for those of you maybe watching online, those of you in this room, on Wednesday nights we're going through the book of Acts. And that's what brought us into Daniel's 70 weeks of why it is so important. Because the first 7 chapters of Acts, you are in Daniel's 70th week. You're into it. This is why that thing is so important. Are you ready? Okay, so I could have done this, but I would have lost 80% of the crowd, right? Okay, so here we are, Acts chapter 1. Let's think back what we've covered so far. Christ descends. Disciples are upset. They wait in Jerusalem. In the meantime, as they're waiting in Jerusalem and they're waiting for the promise of the Spirit to come, they pull the disciples together and go, what do we do? Peter stands up and says, we've got to find somebody to replace Judas. So they elect another one. And we see Judas is now gone. I took you to a place in John and Thessalonians, that Judas and the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. When John writes, he talks about the Antichrist. Now, John, when he writes, he's way out past Acts 7. Okay, he's past it. So he knows this thing stopped. But if you take yourself into this place in Acts, you don't know that it has stopped. But when John writes, he says about the son of perdition, who once was, but is not, but shall come. Judas dies. He's not present. Either in spirit or in bodily form, he will be resurrected, and he is empowered, and he is the Antichrist. Because he's not just a man. He's a devil. He's more than a man. Judas Iscariot was not just a man. He was more than a man. Remember, he went to his own place. But hell is not created for mankind. It's created for the devil and his angels. Well, we know Judas is not the devil. So he is a devil. In John, it says, remember John chapter 6? He was a devil. And Christ said, I've kept all that you've given me, Father, John 17, except the one which is the son of perdition. In Acts chapter 7, had Israel said, with Stephen's preaching, we murdered the Messiah, you're right, we're wrong, Christ would have raptured the believers. See, it would have taken place. And you would have gone in tribulation right here. And guess what would have been missing? The church. This is why the church has no Bible prophecies given in the Old Testament concerning the church. It's not there. How many have seen this? I'm going to erase our backside. And a Bible prophet, for example, maybe Isaiah, Ezekiel, even Daniel, those guys, as they're prophesying and they're looking out, and this is their prophecies, okay? As they're preaching, they're looking out in the future. And think of it like a mountaintop. So here's our mountains. And in here is the church. They didn't see it. They didn't see a gap. They saw the first coming of Christ. And they preached about it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever been to the mountains, you went to the mountains recently. You've been to the mountains. You've been to the mountains. You've been to the mountains. You hadn't been in the mountains yet, have you? Have y'all been? And you stand there and you look at the mountains, and they look like they're all together, don't they? But what's between them? Valleys. You could have miles between them. But from one location, they look like they're just together. And you can put another mountain in here. Millennial reign of Christ. And as those prophets are sitting there, and he's going, oh, and he'll come, and he shall be called this, and then he'll put together, and he shall destroy his enemies. And he put these two together in one verse. Why? Because it's like mountaintops of prophecies as he looks out across there. But there are gaps, there are spaces, there's differences. It's not all together. It's not all in one. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll jump back in next Sunday night, carrying into this and cover this time frame on our chart. Any questions? Did I totally lose you? Yes, ma'am. Don't ask me any numbers now.
I've been through Sir Robert Anderson's bottom of my mind, but what I don't get is if the tribulation period is the 70th week, which is 7 years, but you have it starting already. And so if you have the 70th week starting there, how much time are you accounting for? Because it seems like that much time has to be taken away from the tribulation, if my question makes sense.
Yes, it does. So, and that's...
Between Acts 2 and Acts 7, how much time is
there?
Yeah, so... But we know that this period in here will be shortened. He said that the Jews wouldn't last except those days be shortened.
by Acts chapter 10, I'm sorry, Acts 10, by Revelation 10, which will be our Sunday school next Sunday morning. In Revelation 10 is the angel shows up on the Mediterranean Sea, and that is a pre-appearance. It's a mid-tribulation appearance of Jesus Christ. My guess is when he starts giving all those numbers in Daniel that don't match up, I think it's something in here that that's accounting for this time clock already having ticked away. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. Now, the number portion, I can't quite figure it out, because here is my problem. This is going to be the rapture right here in this era, okay? Rapture takes place. When does it start back up? I don't know.
No clear indication.
There's no way to know, to my knowledge. Most Bible prophecies would just assume that Daniel's 70 weeks starts when the rapture happens. But we have no verses to prove that.
Yeah.
What do you mean it starts?
Well, it would start, I would say it would start back up. In other words, the church is taken out, and now it goes into the tribulation.
Started with the signing of the covenant between the Antichrist and Israel. I thought that was the start of the 70th week.
Right. It would, according to this passage. So, but most would say, the tribulation starts the rapture. You can't find any verses to say that is the case. It would make sense that there's total chaos. A world leader would rise to power and go, here we go. But even that, there's time frames there. I mean, you don't have that stuff just happen overnight. But then again, I guess you could in today's society. So I think there's still a gap in this time frame. And then when that starts again, at that period, that starting point, then it starts going again.
So as far as you know, you don't believe we're going to be here to see any of that. Mm-hmm. We'll be gone.
As far as seeing the tribulation, no, we'll not be here.
None whatsoever.
But let's say it's 2 days after the rapture.
Right.
Well, then you can't have an Antichrist that's 2 days old.
Right.
He's got to be about 30.
Right.
So
that means he would have been rising power in here.
The 70th week ends with the rapture, right?
The 70th week gets kicked back in gear.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, no, it stops right here.
Okay.
This thing stopped. He turned from the Jew, and he turned to the Gentile.
Oh, so it stopped. Okay.
Because this is determined upon Israel, not Gentiles or the church.
That's true.
It had to stop.
The end of the week is Armageddon, correct?
The second coming of Christ, it will have finished.
Yeah, the second
end
of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they call it.
And is there some reason that you have it stop with Acts 7 versus, say, Matthew 13?
The reason I do it with Acts 7 is when Stephen preaches, well, in Christ, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. And God said, I'll give you another chance. And the thing kept going. By the time you get to Acts 7, it's presented to the nation of Israel. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ stood. He's standing at the right hand of God. As Stephen sees him, and you look at the scriptures, you go back and look at when Christ or God stands, and he stands to judge his people. That's when he stands up. So that was not a standing to welcome Stephen to heaven. It was a Bible prophecy. Everything was there. Everything was in line. Mm-hmm. And he was ready. He was ready to rapture him out right there. So.
I guess that was their sign of Jonah for them.
Yeah, and now God gave a couple more opportunities in Acts, but they didn't. But that thing had already stopped. So, all right, we'll start next Sunday with more here to there. Okay. All right, let's close in prayer and get ready. Father, thank you for the time once again to study your word. I ask you to bless the service tonight, and that your word would be.